Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sense of your presence here this morning. And I pray that you would use this time to build your church by building up each one of us in our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your iPhones or your Bibles or whatever you use to your Androids, find 1 Peter chapter 3. That's where we're going to be this morning. If you attend here regularly, you know that we are working our way through the book of 1 Peter, which talks about our life as followers of Christ. It talks about the fact that we are a different type of people because we have come to know Him, because we have been born again by His Spirit. We're different, and that can make us be like strangers. And what is that? What did you do? There we go. Good job. We are strangers. We are aliens here. We feel a little disconnected from our society. At the same time, we are ambassadors and priests representing God here in this place. So how should we live? And we've been talking about that. Peter's been talking about how we should relate to our government, how we should relate to our bosses. Now he's going to talk about marriage. And I realize that some of us are married and some of us are not. But I believe if you're not married, there are some things that God wants you to know this morning. Because you very well one day may find yourself married. And this is part of building that foundation into your life that can help you have what God intends for marriage. Now, Peter's going to spend 7 verses talking about marriage. He's going to start with 6 verses addressed to wives, and then he's going to have 1 verse addressed to men. Now, it's always dangerous as a man to talk about women and what God says to women. So I'm going to start by talking about what God says to the men. So we're going to start with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and this is what it says. Oh, this is supposed to work, Jesse. Next slide, Jesse. Oh, come on. There's what it says. And actually, it's intentionally blurry. I blurred out part of the verse intentionally. Now that black square up there in the corner, that's not me. But the fact that most of the verse is fuzzy is intentional. Because, guys, this is what he says. He says, likewise, husbands, blah, 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 so that nothing would hinder your prayers. I want you to think about this for a minute, guys. Peter starts, he's going to talk to you about your most important earthly relationship, your relationship with your spouse. And he grounds it in your prayer life. In your prayer life. He is making the assumption that the most important thing to you is your prayer life, is your relationship with God. He's making that assumption. I saw that and I said, whoa, 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 wait, wait, wait a minute. I know many men for whom their prayer life is a very low priority. And so Peter is challenging us right at the beginning about what is the center of our life. And is your relationship with Jesus the most important thing in your life? Is your time of communion and communication with the Lord extremely important to you? Is it the type of thing that you don't want anything to mess with that? Or not? He's making that assumption. And it is a good assumption. Because one of the marks of a healthy follower of Jesus is a vibrant life of prayer. Jesus, our example, Jesus, our leader and Lord, would frequently sneak away to spend time in prayer. For him, prayer was a priority. The English evangelist Leonard Ravenhill was once asked by someone what his opinion was of a well-known Christian speaker. It was a speaker that was admired by many people around the world. And he was asked, Leonard, what do you think of so-and-so? And Leonard said, I don't know. I've never prayed with him. The questioner was surprised, and Leonard Ravenhill said, no man is greater than his prayer life. You are what you are on your knees before God, and nothing more. The importance of that vertical relationship with God cannot be overstated. It is the core, guys, of who we are called to be. We are called to be people who know Jesus deeply. Now, I know a lot of guys struggle with the whole aspect of prayer. So I want to give you three pointers, then we'll move on to talk about what the blah, blah, blah is. First of all, make an appointment with Jesus. Make an appointment with Jesus. Guys, we have a lot of priorities. And our priorities are reflected in our schedule. Okay? They're reflected in our schedule. If there's a big football match that's happening, we're probably setting aside one evening to watch the football match because it's a priority. If being with your brothers and sisters here in church, you're setting aside the last weekend in April to go camping. It's a priority. Your priorities show up in your agenda. So make an appointment with Jesus. Write it down. When's it going to happen? Now, don't be legalistic about it. Here's what I mean. If you say, I'm going to get in shape, you know, I put on a few pounds over the winter, I need to get in shape, so I'm going to exercise 5 days a week, and you put it on your schedule. This is when I'm going to exercise. And you haven't been doing any exercising. And so now you say, I'm going to do 5 days a week. But things come up, and you only do it 4 days a week. You can beat yourself up for only doing it 4 days a week and missing one of them. But stop to think about the fact you weren't exercising at all before, and now you're doing it four times a week. That's great. But make an appointment with Jesus. Put it on your schedule. Second idea, pray, read the scriptures. What do you pray about? What do you pray about? Use the scriptures as a guide. Here's what I mean. You could take Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And just start reading that psalm and then turn it into prayer. Lord, be my shepherd. Lord, help me see how you're guiding me. Don't let me be like one of those sheep that wanders away. Help me to follow you. Use the scriptures to guide your prayers. Use the scriptures to pray for your wife. Ephesians 5 talks about washing our wives with the word. So pray the scriptures over your wife. Lord, your word says that nothing will separate us from your love. I pray for Janet, Lord, that she would know today that nothing will separate her from your love. Lord, I just pray that over Janet's life. Pray the scriptures. Third idea, make a list. Make a list. What is it that you want to be praying about? Have that in your Bible. Oh yeah, that's right. I was going to pray because my relatives are going to be coming to the Easter service. They're going to be here for Easter and they're going to be coming and they don't know Jesus. So I'm going to pray for them. And you just have that on your list and something you can talk to God about. You do those three things and your prayer life will begin to grow. If you're still struggling, the next slide. Well, it's Secrets of the Secret Place. It's also available in French with an invisible title that I don't remember. But Bob Sorge is the author. It's a fantastic book. The French version is available at CLC. I saw it in there last time I was there. And I would just recommend that book about improving your personal time alone with God. Okay? So next slide. This is where we're at, guys. How's your prayer life? Is that important to you? Let's keep that as the center. And if that's important to you, then the next slide. Oh boy. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Jesse, is there any way we can get that black square off of there? Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Live with your wives in an understanding way, guys. Literally, it's live with your wives according to knowledge. According to knowledge. What is it that you're supposed to know and understand? Yeah, it's a very good question. People debate exactly what he's talking about there, and I think he's perhaps intentionally non-specific. He's intentionally a little vague. I think he means at least this. First of all, live with your wife according to what the scriptures teach us about relationships, particularly marriage relationships. Guys, you should know what the scriptures say about how to have a good relationship with someone. Okay? Do you know that? Do you know what the scripture says? And are you living according to it? Do you know what the Scripture says about marriage and what your responsibilities as a husband are? And are you doing it? So it means that the idea of Christian understanding of relationships and marriage, husbands live your life according to that. But I also think it means, guys, you should have a doctorate level of knowledge when it comes to your wife. How well do you know your wife? What's her favorite ice cream? What's her favorite ice cream? What's her favorite color? What's her dream? What's her fear? What was the most important conversation that she had this week? What is she struggling with? What do you do that blesses her? What do you do that hurts her? Do you know these things? When you were courting her, when you were dating, you were eager to find out the answers to each of those questions. Here's the thing. Your wife is not the same person she was last year. She's different. She's different. What do you call those things? I'm trying to remember. Sometimes you're wondering what something is and you just can't even come up with the words to do a Google search for it. Remember those things when we were kids that you could look through and they had glass on the inside and you could turn them and they kind of...
A kaleidoscope.
I couldn't come up with that word. A kaleidoscope. And, you know, and as you look through that, it's constantly changing, but always beautiful. Guys, that's your wife. That's your wife. Do you know your wife today? Live with your wife according to knowledge. Do you know her? Have a doctorate level knowledge of your wife. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Oh boy, there's a place I can get in trouble. But it's important. It's important. Okay? Now, I have to say this. I understand that there are... This is a generalization. But in general, men are stronger than women. In general. I know we talk a lot about equality, but I would point out that we still have separate events in the Olympics for men and women. We still have men and women's tennis. If we wanted to be equal, we would just say, no, we'll just have the best tennis players play. Okay? But we acknowledge that there's some differences. And I say this as a man who, when I was young, Janet and I used to run together. And we'd run long distances together. Long distances. And we'd get to the end of a 25-kilometer run, and Janet would look at me at the last kilometer and go, "Let's race." And I'm like, "What do you think I've been doing for the last 24 kilometers? And she... Okay. And yet, in general, guys, you're stronger than your wife. And I want you to stop and think about all that your wife does from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed. last month, my grandkids were here. They were 1.5 and 3.5. Bundles of energy. Bundles of energy. You know, if you tried to imitate them, guys, you would need a nap too. You know? Now, there's no question, I'm stronger than my granddaughter. But I look at the energy she throws at life, and it's amazing. How about your wife, guys? She's the weaker vessel. Yet look at all she does. Look at all she does. Never belittle it. Never belittle it. You honor your wife for everything she does. Not only that, you honor her because she's made in the image of God and bought by the blood of the Lamb. The King of the universe said, I want her with me forever. So you honor her. You honor her. So that's what he says to men. He says, if you don't want your prayers, if you don't want your relationship with me to be hindered, guys, then live with your wives according to knowledge. Honor them as the weaker vessel. Honor them as being a co-heir of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. That relationship with Jesus is so important in your marriage, and I'll tell you why in a couple minutes, because I'm going to deal with the women next. Yeah, six verses on the women. Hi. Let's go to the next slide. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some of them don't obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Women are called to submit. What does that word mean? That word means submit. It means to place oneself underneath. It's echoes of the Garden of Eden when Adam was given Eve as a helpmate, as a companion. It is saying, I am here to serve. I am here to be a companion. And it says that women are to respect their husbands. Their demeanor should be respectful. It's important. It's important. It's important for women to have this, wives to have an attitude of serving and loving and caring for and honoring their husbands. One of the things that I have seen sometimes is women getting together and talking about their husbands and all of the rotten things their husbands do. And they walk away from those conversations feeling good, actually, thinking, my husband may be terrible, but he's not as terrible as her husband. By the laughter, I assume you know what I'm talking about. And yet, you're called to respect your husband. You're called to respect him. to find those things and to look at those things in your husband which are good, which are noble, which are right, which are just, which are pure. You know, his decision-making process can't be all bad. After all, he picked you as a wife. Okay? You know? So just show honor. Show honor. Give thoughtful consideration to what they say. Men tend to be of few words. Realize that they don't use very many words. They tend to think their words are important. If you dismiss them, you're disrespecting them. That doesn't mean you always have to agree or we can't have a conversation, but how do you go about it? How do you go about it? Wives, be subject to your own husbands. Let your conduct be respectful and pure. Next slide. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Does what he mean here that you shouldn't have gold jewelry? That you shouldn't braid your hair? That you shouldn't spend more than 10 euros on a shirt? Is that what he's saying here? I don't think so. He's saying to the women, what are you paying attention to? What is it that is concerning you? Is it the external, how you look? Or is it the internal? Is it what's going on inside your heart? Where does that quiet and gentle spirit come from? Where does that spirit that is precious in God's sight come from? It comes from your relationship with Jesus. So think of your internal life like a garden. And is the garden of your internal life well tended and well watered? Pay attention to that. I want you to see that Peter is going the same place with you that he went with the men. When he started talking about their prayer life, now he's talking about you and your relationship with God. And is your internal life in harmony with the Lord? It would be easy to ask all sorts of questions this morning that would lay a guilt trip on you. It would be easy to ask questions like, did you spend more time praying or doing your makeup? Which was more important as you came to church this morning? But I'm not going to ask those questions. Instead, I'm just going to ask the question, how is your inner garden? Is it full of weeds, or is it a gentle, quiet, peaceful place? And if it's not a gentle, quiet, peaceful place, let me encourage you to spend time with the Lord, to spend time with Him, to make that a greater priority than all of the external things that you could be paying attention to. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. He's pointing to the Old Testament women and how they behaved. They submitted to their husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Does that mean that Anna, you're supposed to call Carlos Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, my Lord. What do you think, Carlos? Yeah, probably when he's in trouble, right? No, what Peter is getting at is that this idea of women submitting to their husbands runs through all of scriptures. It happened to come out in Sarah's voice there when she called Abraham Lord in the book of Genesis. But I don't think that she went around calling him Lord, you know. But it was just the attitude of the Old Testament saintly, godly women. So I don't think that that's what that means. I think it's interesting, though, that the end of the instruction says, you're her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Well, hello. Does that mean that, you know, if there's a snake, you're not supposed to be afraid? Don't fear anything that's frightening. What does that mean? Here's what I think it means. I think you have to look at the context. I think you have to look at the context, and then he's talking about marriage, and he's talking about your relationship with your husband, and the fear that you have if you submit. If all of a sudden you follow what he says. What could happen then? And the Lord would say, trust me. This was the women who hoped in God. They hoped in God. So they trusted him. What the scriptures say in marriage, about marriage, both here and in Ephesians 5, is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Let me remind you that the men are supposed to honor their wives. Men are supposed to be caring and loving and nurturing their wives. And women are supposed to be doing the same for their husband. And both of them are supposed to be rooted deeply in their relationship with the Lord. The Christian marriage is supposed to be rooted and grounded, not on principles, but on a relationship with Jesus. On a relationship with Jesus. Why is that? You'll remember, if you were with us when we were going through Galatians, we talked about the fact that you can either be walking according to the flesh or you can be walking according to the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, it tells us that the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, strife, jealousy, anger, rivalry, fits of rage. All of these things are parts of following the flesh. But if you follow the way of the Spirit, look what's the next thing. You have things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you follow the way of the Spirit, this will characterize your life. And if you and your spouse are following the Lord, drinking deeply from the Spirit, then your marriage will be noted for its love. The dynamics that are going on in your marriage will be things like peace, kindness, goodness. Why? Because you're drawing sap from Jesus, and it's coming into the plant of your marriage and producing this incredible fruit. Incredible fruit. That's what God wants for our marriages. The Spirit-filled marriage is noted for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Marriages are under attack today across the world. The enemy is seeking to destroy marriage, the institution of marriage, and all that it represents are under attack from almost every angle. And so marriages need prayer. They need incredible work. And we want to take some time this morning to pray for married people in the church. So if you're married, I'm going to ask you to stand up, because we're going to pray for you. So if you're married, stand up. Ah, look at all these married people. Fantastic. Now, here is how we're going to pray. We're going to sing our prayer. Okay? We're going to sing our prayer. So we're going to start, we're going to change the words just a little bit to the song, More Love, More Power. If we can put that up, Jesse, it'd be great.